And I pray that you will give every husband, every dad, strength to stand in the Word of God and to give testimony of God's Word when called upon and when needed in any and every situation. Father, we need men, kingdom men today, who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who are willing and eager to share Jesus with their sons and daughters and wife, who are eager to say publicly, I love the Lord Jesus. I proclaim Him as Lord. I praise Him. I adore Him. All is due to Him. I am thankful for His goodness, for His mercy. I am thankful for the home that He has given. I am thankful for the job He's given. I am thankful for everything. For everything comes from the hand of the living God. I'm so thankful for His goodness. I'm so thankful that He died on the cross and paid my sin debt in full. I'm just glad to be alive and glad to have a heart that has been given to my Lord. I am thankful for a heart transformation that the grace of God has done in my life. I thank You for that gift of salvation. I thank You for so much, for so many things that I am not even fully aware of, that You are doing in my life to bring about Your goodness, to bring about the salvation of Almighty God, to bring about a family that will grow up one day and be witnesses of their own in reference to Christ. Thank You, dads, for being a Christian. Thank You, husbands, for being a Christian. So I pray today, as we'll touch on that from time to time, that we will take very, very serious what is before us this morning. What is coming in the future. What is non-negotiable. Jesus Christ is coming. The rapture is coming. The 7-year tribulation is coming, but can be avoided by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today. So I pray, if there is any divine persuasion in this room before this service is over, persuading the husband, father, even a wife, to come forward and accept Jesus Christ and begin a new life in Him, we pray that you'll respond and respond very quickly. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you have your printout, you'll notice we're back in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. The title, The Millennial and the Final Judgment. I hope you have something to write with this morning. The reason is, you know so well what you see right here on mine that I'm going to give you, and I don't try to hide it. And I love it when your heads are down and you're not looking at me, because I know that you're looking at the printout and that you're probably writing or playing tic-tac-toe, one of the two. But anyway, you look really good as you do that. But I want you to try to write down all that you can. I believe it is so important because of the days that we are living in and because of the so-called government that we have in Washington, D.C., today, so-called government. We need to know the truth. We need to know reality. We need to know how to stand in the truth. We need to know what is expected of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not back away. So let's begin verses 1 and 2. And then I, John, the apostle, saw. Underline the word saw. The word saw in the Greek language is horao, and it means I saw vividly, I saw clearly, I saw credibly a real angel, a messenger that has come from the living God, descending from heaven, because Satan's location is on earth at that moment, holding the key of the abyss, the bottomless pit. And a great chain was in his hand. Underline the word hand, two things here. In the Greek language, the word hand refers to the instrument used to accomplish God's purpose or God's plan. So we have an angel. He has descended from heaven. He is holding the key of the abyss, the bottomless pit. He has a great chain in his hand. The reason is he is going to accomplish God's purpose or God's plan. And I will say this without apology. When it comes to God's purpose and God's plan, there is no negotiating. What God has planned, what God has proposed in eternity past is non-negotiable. It is not going to change. There is not a man that will ever live that can bring change to the purpose and plan of God that has already been appointed. Not even our government can bring change to what God has already proposed in eternity past. It is there by divine decree, again, therefore non-negotiable. And the second thing is the beast, the false prophet, and their followers are out of the way at this moment. And he overpowered and laid, underline the word laid, it means he put the dragon under his control. He put a hold on the dragon, underline the word dragon. The word dragon means to accomplish Satan's hellish agenda behind the scenes. It means to accomplish Satan's hellish agenda behind the scenes. Once again, I will say this without apology, and I'm not backing away from it. This is what your government is doing as I speak at this very moment. Satan, number one, is at work. Number two, he has a hellish agenda, and it is being accomplished behind the scenes where most of Americans have no clue as to what is taking place at this moment. What has been taking place and is planned by the government to take place in the future days that are ahead. And he overpowered and laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent. Underline the word old. It takes us back to the Garden of Eden. So does the word serpent. We find that also in reference to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. That old serpent of primeval times, who is the devil. Underline the word devil. The word devil in the Greek language means the one who severs relationships. So we see that Satan and his demonic army are constantly, always busy trying to sever relationships, especially those in reference to Christianity. Who is the devil and Satan, and bound him. Underline the two words bound him. It is a reference to Satan himself. The word bound him prohibits movement and activity. So the devil will be helpless to deceive the nations during the millennial, which is the 1,000-year reign of Christ, which will take place after the 7-year tribulation period. It bound him securely. Underline the word securely. It means there will be no satanic activity for 1,000 years. The 1,000 years is a literal 1,000 years. Now, underline the word millennium, if you will. At the end of the 7-year tribulation, Christ comes down to earth. Satan is overpowered by a single angel. And then the millennial, the 1,000-year reign of Christ begins. Now, the abyss is a place of captivity and judgment. The abyss in the ancient world often referred to the spiritual underworld. In this case, the place where wicked demons are held in prison until the future judgment of the lake of fire. The lake of fire is literal, it is real, and that is not going to change. So when Satan is sealed in the abyss, his influence on the earth will not simply be lessened, it will be non-existent. Imagine a world in which Satan can no longer manipulate leaders, tempt sinners, take advantage of the weak, or corrupt the strong. The first reason things are not as they should be will be solved. The complete inability of Satan to exert his wickedness on the earth for 1,000 uninterrupted years will mean that the first and worst cause of all sin will be removed from the scene. The problem we have today is not having too many guns. The problem is not having a pistol in your home or an AR-15. If I had a pistol or an AR-15 or a shotgun, I would lay it down on a table right here in front of you and say to each one, "I want you to kill." There would be silence. There would be no response from the guns. It's not the gun that is evil. It is the person who picks up the gun with evil in his heart that causes the killings we are having today. And the number one person behind it all is Satan himself. So you can have your background checks. We have them. I'm all for them. But in order to have the utopia many want today, which speaks so much in ignorance of what it's all really about, you would have to lock Satan up. And that's what we're reading right here. And that is what is going to happen down the road in the future one of these days. So the real problem is not the gun. It is the individual with evil in their heart. And the one who is worse than that is Satan himself. So Satan has to be dealt with. You have a God-given right to protect yourself as a human being here on planet Earth. Even as a Christian, even here in this church, we have a plan. If you try to walk in here trying to cause problems or trouble or wanting to kill somebody, you will be met outside this building and you will be dealt with and the police will be called. We are not stupid. We know we are a soft target to many that are out there that are wanting to kill. But I assure you, we are not a soft target. I have more women carrying weapons in here than I do men. Amen. Praise God for that. Okay. Now let's go to the printout, if you will. So the first reason things are not as they should be will be solved. The complete inability of Satan to exert his wickedness on the earth for 1,000 uninterrupted years will mean that the first and worst cause of all sin, Satan, will be removed from the scene by the power of Almighty God by a single angel. Verse 3, and the angel hurled him, underline him. Him is a reference to Satan. Satan is a supernatural, spiritual being. You have no business fooling with Satan. Let God and his angels take care of that. And the angel hurled him, Satan, into the abyss. Underline the word abyss. That is confinement that was at the time or the point, the prison of the demonic horde that we have read about earlier in Revelation. He was cast into the abyss or hurled into the abyss by great force by a single angel and closed it and sealed it. Underline the word sealed. The word sealed means it was sealed with special security. It was sealed with special authority. It was sealed with the sovereign protection of Almighty God. So that cannot be reversed in any way until God allows it to be reversed. He closed it and sealed it above him. So where will Satan be? He will be down somewhere in the earth, preventing his escape or rescue, so that he would no longer deceive. Underline the word deceive. This may surprise you. The word deceive in the Greek language, it means cause people to live in the pains of self-government. Does it hurt when you live an anti-God life? Yes. Is there pain going to be in your life when you live without God's direction in it? The answer is yes. And who is the one who is trying to, and I'll repeat this, here he is, he's going to deceive. How does he deceive? This is Satan. To cause people to live in the pains of self-government, self-direction, human reasoning, human thinking. To veer off God's course of safety, joy, and power. So that he would no longer deceive and seduce the nations until the 1,000 years, remember that's a literal 1,000 years, were at an end. After these things, he must, underline the word must, it means what is absolutely necessary. After these things, he must be liberated. Who's going to be liberated? It is going to be Satan himself, and he'll be liberated by one angel. All right, here we go back to it. He will be liberated for a short time. Underline the word time. It is time sovereignly appointed by God again in eternity past. Again, it is non-negotiable. No one can change this timing. God will say, let it stay, and it will, because God has a purpose and a plan for this exact timing to take place. This verse reminds us that the devil will be cast into the abyss when Christ returns, not cast into the lake of fire. Once somebody is thrown into the lake of fire, there is no return. The fact that Satan is cast into the abyss, however, means that he will one day be released, but only for a short time, to do something. To renew his deceptive tactics and his sly trickery. Well, here's a question. Number one, will the sinfulness of humanity be removed during the millennium? The answer is no, it will not. Remember, in the 7-year tribulation, when it comes to an end, only believers will walk into what? The millennial. All right, these believers that endured to the end, that did not get killed because they accepted Christ during that time, they walk into the millennial in a fleshly body like you have at this very moment. Now think, you and I in our fleshly bodies have an old sin nature. When reproduction takes place, even from the nations that are going to come, they will come in fleshly bodies. When babies are born, they will be born with an old sin nature. So therefore, Christianity in the millennial, even though Jesus Christ is going to be right there in his resurrected, glorified body, there will be no automatic salvation. You will have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in him and believe the word about him. So Christianity will not be automatic during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. All right, now here we go. Verse 4, and then I the Apostle John, horao, I saw. Here we go again. I saw vividly, I saw clearly, and I saw credibly thrones. And sitting on them were those to whom judgment, underline the word judgment. This is the eternal benefits that came from the Lord. So judgment in the fear of the redeemed right here. And I saw the souls. I want you to underline that and then go back to the beginning and let's put it together. And then I, John, saw very vividly, very clearly, and with great credibility, because this is coming from God, I saw thrones, and sitting on them were those to whom judgment, that is the authority to act as judges, was given as an eternal benefit. And I saw the souls. Underline this phrase. I, John, saw the souls. I have a question for John. John, how in the world did you see what was invisible? The soul is invisible. The soul in your body is invisible. The spirit in your body is invisible. Yet God is allowing John to see on the supernatural plane the souls that are invisible. Why is that taking place? He wants you to know that when you die a fleshly, bodily death, where does your soul and spirit go immediately? You know that the Apostle Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord, that is in the blink of an eye. So we see right here, he says, and I saw. Now let me say this to you. Did he see them in purgatory?
No.
Did he see them in any kind of soul sleep?
No.
Were these souls conscious or unconscious? All right, they're very conscious, okay? And I saw the souls. Now, I've got something you don't have. I've been reading what you don't have. I want you to listen to this, the word soul. The soul is eternal. The soul is eternal. It is immortal. Our souls will live forever, either in the presence of God in heaven, if we are saved, or in punishment in hell, if we reject God's gift of salvation, which is according to the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The soul, as the life essence of the body, is removed at the time of physical death. Number four. Here John sees the souls of bodies not yet resurrected. Not yet resurrected. It didn't even hit me until this morning when I was sitting in the office at home and I read it again. I have read this probably 50 times. And I saw the souls. I saw what is invisible. So God allowed John to see what is invisible to the naked human eye. So we would know that when you die, immediately you go to be in the presence of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say very quickly, there is no purgatory to enter into to get cleaned up. If you believe that, what you're saying is, what Jesus did on the cross, he did a half-butt job. Do you understand? That's the best that I can put it right there. Brother, when Jesus paid your sin debt in full on the cross over 2,000 years ago, he did everything perfectly.
Amen.
Nothing needs to be redone. Nothing was done halfway. When he paid for your sins, he paid for every sin you would ever commit.
Amen.
Well, if that's the case, preacher, then I should automatically go to heaven. Uh-uh. There's only one sin that'll keep you out of heaven. It's the sin of unbelief in Jesus Christ, that's one sin that is damning and is not going to change. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Back to the page. And then I saw, verse 4, thrones. And sitting on them were those to whom judgment, that is the authority to act as judges, was given as an eternal benefit or privilege. And I saw the invisible. I saw the souls of those. And now I can tell you where a soul or spirit goes upon physical death. He summed it up here. Of those who had been beheaded. Underline the word beheaded. They were beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus. And Jesus is his human name. It's Jesus as the God-man. Jesus 100% God. Jesus 100% man. But he did not have an old sin nature because he did not have a human father. You understand that?
Amen.
Okay, if you don't see me after church. But they were beheaded. When you look up the word beheaded, it means their head was cut off with an axe. Their head was cut off with an axe. I just, out of curiosity, want to ask you. If you knew your head was going to be cut off with an axe, would you witness for Christ? Would you stand up for the Word of God? Or would you say, I'll tell you what, I'm not really a Christian. I just kind of talk it every now and then. So I can walk away from the axe. I wonder how many people would walk out of here if we said, at the door will be some men with an axe. They will cut off the head of every believer who has confessed Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior in this service. How many would be running out this door? How many would be running to this door where the axe is? Do you see what these early Christians went through? And aren't you glad? Because if they had not, you wouldn't be here. The heroes of the faith, those that were willing to stand for Jesus Christ, those that said, Jesus Christ died for me. He paid my sin debt in full, and I believe everything about it. I believe that Jesus Christ is God. And I believe that he was raised from the dead by the power of Almighty God. And I believe that he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. And I believe that he's coming back again. And brother, he's coming back for me. Do you believe that? If you have a preacher that doesn't, wherever you go to church, you need to get rid of him.
Right.
And then I saw thrones, and sitting on them were those to whom judgment, that is the authority to act as judges, was given, an eternal benefit and privilege. And I saw the invisible. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus Christ as the God-man and because of the Word of God. And those who had refused to worship the beast. Listen to this. Here's the beast with a bestial nature. And he will dominate international politics in the 7-year tribulation period. Is this who you want to live under? I didn't think so. Who refused to worship the beast or his image and had not accepted his mark on their forehead and on their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Top of page 2. Immediately following the tribulation at the opening of the millennial, God will judge all non-believers to come out of the tribulation, those who took the mark of the beast. This judgment is implied by the presence of thrones and the people seated on them who were given authority to judge. In contrast to the judgment of non-believers from the tribulation, all followers of Christ from all ages will reign with Christ during the millennial, including those from the tribulation who had not worshipped the beast, verses 5 and 6. The rest of the dead, the non-believers, did not come to life again until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Blessed, happy, prosperous, to be admired and holy is the person who takes part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death, which is eternal separation from God, the lake of fire, has no power or authority. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with Him 1,000 years. And remember, that's as literal as it can be, number one. Non-believers from all periods of history, other than the tribulation, will not be raised for judgment until the 1,000 years are completed. That post-millennial resurrection will be the first resurrection of that group. Importantly, in verse 6, the phrase, the first resurrection, is used with a different referent. The resurrection of believers at the beginning of the millennial to reign with Jesus Christ. Over such people, the second death, eternal judgment, has no power. The millennial reign of Christ and His followers is the utopia for which the world longs. There will be no war. The lion will lie down with the lamb. Lifespans will increase as in the early days of the Old Testament. The reason such utopia will be possible is that Jesus will be ruling with a rod of iron, and there will be no allowance for rebellion. You say, how can there be rebellion? Remember, there's an old sin nature in that body. It's a fleshly body. Each believer will be co-regent with Jesus, receiving rewards and responsibilities in accordance with his or her level of faithfulness in the present life. Because Christ's followers will have glorified heavenly bodies, each person will be perfectly suited to carry out his or her responsibilities. Verses 7 and 8. And when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison, the abyss, and will come out to deceive and mislead the nations. Notice the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth, including Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. Their number is like the sand of the seashore. Verse 3. Page 3. At the end of the millennium, Satan will be released from his prison, the abyss, and will go out to deceive the nations. Didn't change, did he? Didn't change. As he had been doing since the fall of mankind, you'll find in Genesis 3. Surprisingly, even following 1,000 years of utopia on earth, under the reign of Christ, there will be people who rebel against him and fall for Satan's deception. These will be like people in the first AD who followed Jesus and applauded his miracles, but then yelled, "Crucify him," before Pilate. Such people follow Jesus outwardly, but have experienced no heart transformation. When Satan is released from captivity, he will not force anyone to rebel against Christ. Surprise you? He simply will take advantage of what's already inside them. The people Satan deceives are referred to as Gog and Magog, an evil man in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And the land over which he ruled, respectively. Here the terms are symbolic of the enemies of God in general. Such people will gather for battle against Jesus, and their numbers will be vast like the sand of the sea. Until the final judgment, there will always be people who choose to rebel against Jesus Christ. And they swarmed up, verse 9, up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints, God's people. And the beloved city, Jerusalem, but fire came down from heaven and consumed them. Those allies of Satan will come up across the breadth of the earth and surround the encampment of the saints. No problem, God says. His enemies. But unlike the protracted battle God wages against his enemies during the tribulation, divine victory in this situation is going to come at the snap of a finger. Fire will come down from heaven and consume them. Dad, it's Father's Day. Congratulations. But you ain't a real father until you do this. Until you become a kingdom father. Living by the word of Almighty God. So I pray today, maybe you need to step up and be more than just a father. You need to be a kingdom dad. That's giving your life to Jesus Christ and is willing to lead your family in His direction. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the book of Revelation, absolute truth and absolute reality.